Hello there, Chan boys and Chan girls, and other non-gender descript Chan people. This is Jordan coming in with some pre-episode notes. So on this week's episode, the Chan boys 2, Sunny and Jordan discuss the movie Who Am I? And have a real fun time discussing it. So strap in and get ready to listen to a fun episode.
Welcome to Chansplaining, Chan Boys and Chan Girls. That was the first time I've ever done one of those songs. I think it worked out pretty well.
I think it sounded really good.
Yeah, usually Matt does them, but as you guys will soon find out, he is not here this week.
Yeah, Matt is in hiding.
Coming to you live is me, Sunny Chang, and Jordan Asulin.
Yeah, where everyone knows our names, and we're on the internet and easily, probably searchable.
Yeah, all of my data has been lost already. But yeah, this week I had to do the intro and I didn't know how to do it, so I said things wrong probably. Matt's not with us because he's got to do a big move.
Yeah,
and he also fucked up our last recording, so we fired him.
But Matt will be back in Guardians of the Galaxy 3 in summer 2018.
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Matty issues.
We didn't rehearse that.
Yeah. So this week we're going to be talking about the movie Who Am I? Which I guess Matt picked, because I don't remember him.
I picked it.
Oh, you did pick it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we did record a Ninjago episode last week, but due to certain Windows updates that attacked out of nowhere, we've lost parts of that episode. Apparently, so that specific thing has been happening all week with that single Windows update to like a bunch of people.
Really?
Like people have been like doing some sick Fortnites or something.
Oh, wait, so
Yeah, people have been doing shit, and Windows is just like, nope, time to shut everything down.
I've been telling Windows, my Windows at work, I've been snoozing it for like 2 weeks at this
point. It's bad. Yeah, it's bad, because one day it'll just get sick and tired of it when you're doing the most important thing you're doing, and then just restart by itself.
So do I need to just like bite the bullet and just like go in tomorrow at work and be like, I'm out of commission for 30 minutes.
It's not going to take 30 minutes. One of these days, just do it before you go to bed and then you'll be fine.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But what if it attacks again? What if it attacks all my stuff?
And no.
So I can't do stuff as well.
That's a good point, Jordan. That's what computers tend to do.
No, I heard that this update is not good, and I heard that it like...
Every update is not good. That's what you always hear. No one likes new stuff, but except for Jackie Chan, because he likes motorized scooters. Oh, we talked about this last week, actually.
No,
we should do a quick recap of all the lost stuff that we spoke about.
Okay, so stuff number one, Jackie Chan has a motorized scooter industry that he owns in, I guess in China. That
I think it was Singapore or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sounds familiar.
This is the Chandu segment. So yeah, he has this. We've been having them a lot in DC actually, and I've enjoyed writing them. But Jackie Chan has started his own motorized scooter company, and there's also news today that one of them got like a huge amount of funding. They're valued at like $1 billion for whatever reason.
Really?
There's nothing like, yeah, there's nothing proprietary in these scooters. They're just motorized scooters that can be rented on the fly, I guess. And Jackie Chan's bringing that technology to Singapore.
It's so weird. They're like, just like, they sit in the middle of the sidewalk.
Yeah, they're very obnoxious.
At least with like City Bike or any of those bike sharing systems, you have to like park it over by the street. It's like a designated area. This is like a car to go, but like you put it in the most inconvenient for everyone else.
Just in everyone's walking path, just like in the way. But I think a lot of like venture capitalists and investors are real upset that they missed out on Uber, so they're like, "Oh, this is the next big thing: scooters."
Scooter.
I remember that. I remember that time I was real into my Razor, and now that I have billions of dollars, I'm just gonna invest it in scooters.
Ooh, that's so. Do you think this is all of the blockchain people? Blockchain millennials are investing in.
I mean, it's the equivalent. Because like the people who actually know what blockchain is aren't gonna invest in blockchain because they know how volatile it is. People who like have no idea what it is but have heard the buzzword are the ones that are more likely to put money into it.
What is the buzzword? Block?
No, it's them. It's the two together. You gotta have both of them. What else did we? Last week we also talked about
Bleeding Steel.
The Bleeding Steel trailer, which I thought was cool. It was very future punky.
There's a lot of lens flare.
Yeah, there's a lot of lens flare. It's not a movie that I expect Jackie Chan to make when I looked at the trailer, but
it looks like Aeon Flux. It looks sort like of. If Jackie Chan was starring in Aeon Flux.
It's a very instead of Charlize Theron.
Wait, is that Charlize Theron? I thought it was somebody else.
Yeah. Mm. You're thinking of Ultraviolet, probably.
Oh, I am.
With those Mia Jovovich.
Those movies are the same movie.
Yeah, they're very similar. So Jackie Chan is in Bleeding Steel, which like looks really expensive. And it's sort of like... I guess it came out in China already, but it's coming to America in a couple of months. But it's just like a future tech movie, which I guess like cool. I don't know.
Do you think that movie, do you think Jackie, so for a movie like this, when he does a release in China and then he does a release here, does he do all of his lines twice at this point?
I don't know if this movie is in English or not.
Okay, so this movie is probably going to be subtitled and not dubbed.
Oh, so it is, it says Mandarin English. So it might be subbed.
Is that like Spanglish?
Yeah, because like, this is an interesting thing I thought about. You don't really see that many dubs anymore in movies, right? Yeah,
I think it's because we kind of have gotten to a point where like, hey, if you're going to watch like a foreign movie, you're probably going to go out and actually like, just watch it. Like,
right, it's, reading is cool again.
Yeah. Reading's been cool.
And now people are okay with Kung Fu reading. I don't know if that's actually a distraction, but...
Well, are like, the Avengers movies dubbed? I feel like the Avengers movies are definitely dubbed.
I don't know if you really need dialogue to fully understand those movies. And I don't mean that exactly as an insult. I think that, like, a lot of what happens in it is pretty... Like, the visual language of all the Marvel movies is so... reduced down to a basic level that you can kind of understand what's going on.
Except you're gonna miss out on Iron Man, Mr. Tony Snark.
Yeah, those sick burns. I'm sure they have subtitles for when Avengers premieres in China and other countries.
I feel like that those movies definitely get dubbed in different languages.
You think they get dubbed?
I think they get dubbed.
I don't think there's enough like famous people to dub all those characters.
What do you mean famous people?
In international countries.
Do you need a famous person to dub?
You kind of need people who are good at voice acting. Like, there's a lot of stakes on the line with these movies. Like, you're not gonna pluck someone off the street and just be like, hey, say these lines. Because you can't, like, have a rando imitate the cadence of Tony Stark and have it mean the same thing.
I just feel like it would be a little bit... Those movies, they're not kids' movies, but they're more like family movies. People could bring their like 10-year-olds and 8-year-olds.
Sure.
Like, And I think expecting an 8-year-old to watch an entire movie with subtitles is a little bit much. I would guess and say.
But are they there to really grasp the story anyway?
I feel like when you're 10, 8, 9, 10, that range.
That's the age you sell toys to. They're like, oh yeah, give me that Iron Man action figure. It's all I care about.
Yeah. I think they understand what's going on. Maybe they don't understand what's her name? Scarlet Witch and the brain guy were doing in the hotel room, but
I don't understand what they were doing because physiologically that doesn't track all the way.
Wait, does he have a have a peen?
Let's not go there on this episode.
I'm just putting it out there. He's got.
Speaking of unusual romances, we also went over Jackie Chan's first, first I guess crush you could call it.
Yes.
And you did this last week, so can you just go over it a little bit?
Yeah. So I told the story of Jackie Chan meeting his first girlfriend, this woman named Oh Chang, who Jackie meets on an excursion going forward on behalf of the China Drama Academy to do opera for tourists and people who were being exposed to Chinese opera. So he was going on this trip for the academy by himself, and mm-hmm. he literally ran into this girl and knocked her down. He got dirty, she got dirty, he saw her and he immediately was kind of like starstruck and love-struck. And
right. Because she was ripe.
Yeah, wait, what?
That's my Matt line of the week.
That's your Matt line of the week? Yeah.
That's enough.
So he knocks her over, they both stand up, she scurries off. He follows her because he wants to try and talk to this girl, and he sees that she's going to the same opera house as him.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out he goes in thinking like, oh, I'm going to impress this tourist girl, and I'm going to get her digits or whatever the equivalent, get the digits of her home. I don't know.
Yeah, get her address so he can stalk her.
Well, whatever his intention was, he turns out that she is there also to perform, and she is quite a phenomenal singer as well. And he watches her perform, and he says that she's great. Then he goes and he does like this amazing performance as the Monkey King.
Yeah, he kills it.
He kills the Monkey King.
The Monkey King is like China's equivalent of James Bond.
You think so? I feel like
in terms of like allowing actors to do different takes on them, or maybe like
George Washington.
No one plays George Washington in. It's not a thing.
I think you're probably right about.
It'd probably be more like Shakespearean things, or like. What's the name of the dude in Death of a Salesman? Arthur Salesman.
Arthur Miller?
No, he's the writer.
Tony Soprano.
John...
Wilkes Booth.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm not going to remember.
Arthur Miller wrote it. Willie Loman. Okay.
See, Matt, if Matt was here, he would have known.
But yeah, that's the Monkey King.
So, they end up talking, and it turns out they're from the same town. And Jackie ends up being stupid and missing the bus to go home.
Yeah, what an idiot.
And then he tells us that there's going to be some more about Oh Chang coming around the corner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think Matt speculated that they had gotten it in.
On the bus?
Not on the bus.
Or like in the
near future.
Yeah. I would be surprised. I bet they don't kiss until, like, the fifth date.
No. Next chapter. First date.
Oh, really? Jackie. He just goes for it.
I bet. That's my guess.
All
right. So we went over that. We went over Ninjago.
Yeah.
I'm still calling it Ninjago. Mm-hmm. I think overall we all enjoyed it. Matt.
That was fine.
Matt gave it a 4 out of 5.
He put it real high.
And Matt said that it was better than Mulan, which is a lie and incorrect.
It's not even the best Lego movie.
I think Sonny and I both agreed that it was the worst of all the Lego movies.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think I gave it a score of 2.75.
I think I might have given it a 2.5.
Okay, boom. 2.5, 2.75, 4.0, because Matt is a crazy person. Also, I have a question for you, Sonny, and the listeners out there. A little indie movie called Solo came out today, or this week.
Last Friday.
And I got a question for all you out there. Sonny, on the air, definitively, does the Star Wars universe have weeks and days? Because it feels like nobody gets anything. No one's ever like, oh, I'll see you tomorrow, or I'll see you in 2 days.
Well,
like,
I mean, days only exist because of the sun's rotation. Let me get real Neil deGrasse Tyson on you. I'm sure each different planet in the Star Wars galaxy has their own cycle.
But, like, right? So here's my...
Because, like, Tatooine's real fucked up because it's got 2 suns. So, like, it's always day.
But people have to sleep.
Sure.
Still. And, like, do people have jobs where they work, like, 5 days and then they get a weekend?
Probably not. A lot of people in the Star Wars galaxy are probably slaves.
There's a lot of slaves. But does anybody get a weekend?
I'm sure, I don't know. Well, I mean, I think we mentioned this briefly, but, like, do you think stormtroopers have rec centers on the Death Star? Probably, right? What else are they doing with all that speed? Like, they definitely have a gym where they're just, like, shooting hoops.
So you're saying there's basketball in the Star Wars universe.
Well, whatever the Star Wars equivalent of basketball is, Sarlacc. Yeah, or, like, just... I mean, the Death Star is big enough where you can just basically have your own, like, pod racing arena.
Ooh, that's a good point. Do you think anyone has a Sarlacc pit, like, I don't even know, like a simulator? Sarlacc simulator?
Just for, like, their fetish?
Yeah. I think the Star Wars universe allows for a lot of questions that don't get answered in the movie.
For sure. And I think they would be real interesting to answer, and probably more interesting to answer than a Solo movie.
Oh, that's a good point. I think there should be a Star Wars movie about people who have to work 9 to 5s.
Yeah.
And I want to know if they get a weekend. It's Disney, if you're listening to
Disney. Did you see Solo, by the way?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, okay. I saw it.
Was it good?
It was fine. I think it would be a good Star Wars. It's a good Star Wars movie, but it's a bad Han Solo movie.
Oh, that's a good... Because you hate Childish Gambino.
He's actually one of the best parts in it. Him and his robot partner are the best parts of it.
Really? What about Woody?
Woody's fine. He plays his role pretty well. I think if this was like a characters that are completely blank, it would make for a more interesting movie, because they've got to do certain things to make sure that Han ends up where he ends up, and those kind of make it feel more hacky than it could be.
I guess that's true. When you have like a, I guess that's kind of the problem with the prequels as well.
Yeah, it makes it hard.
You have a destination. You already have the future. So like now that you have to rewrite the past or figure out the past, it's, I don't know. You only have so far you can go, or how many like. I don't know. You're like Merlin. You're right. Starting from the end and you're moving forward.
Yeah, exactly like that. Yeah, Paul Bettany's really good in it too.
Who's that?
He's the really pale British guy. He plays Vision.
Oh, that guy?
Yeah. He's in this.
Who is he in Star Wars?
He's Dryden Voss, the crime boss.
Crime lord extraordinaire.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any Hutts?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Okay.
So, is that it? Should we get into the movie?
Yeah.
Did you see any movies this week?
No, I played in a Magic tournament with you that I've been kind of obsessed with after the fact. But me and Sonny lost. So if you were at that tournament and you won, our friend who won the tournament.
Yeah, the one person we know that actually did.
Yeah, well, if you were at the tournament and you were like, oh, we were looking for the Chan boys and we couldn't find them. Well, we were there, and we did.
Also, what is wrong with you? Why would you think that?
I think there were people looking for us.
Yeah.
And then the fact that we didn't play in day two, people didn't have enough time to find us.
Yeah. They would have known if we were good enough to be featured on the stream.
Yeah. Sonny, if you made the top four, would you have put... Would you have put
no,
a shout out?
No. No.
So if you made top four and it said, Sonny, what do you do for a living? You wouldn't say...
This is a lot of exposition we'd have to explain to our listeners.
Computer scientist / amateur podcaster.
That's already wrong. I'm not going to describe myself as a computer scientist. No one does that.
Are you not a scientist or are you not a computer?
I'm not a scientist.
Sonny, I think you're both a computer and a scientist.
I'm really into chanthropology, as you will.
I would definitely describe myself as a computer scientist.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I would describe myself. That's how I describe myself when I meet people for the first time. I'm Jordan, computer scientist.
How do you think Jackie Chan introduces himself to people? Do you think he has to bother at that point?
Ooh. I think he is humble enough to that
Hi,
he would.
I'm Jackie. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jackie. Hey. I'm Jackie. Nice to meet you.
He's, yeah.
I met a famous person, well, not a famous person, but a magic famous person.
Doesn't count.
No, but, like, I met him in the context of a magic tournament, like, but it was a casual magic tournament, and he was like, oh, hey, I'm Brian, and I'm like, oh, nice to meet you, like, I know who you are, like...
Why?
What do you mean?
Why would
I say that?
Yeah, why do they care?
I don't know. Because, like, it just seems weird to be like, hey, I'm Brian. Like, it's, like, what if you were playing a game of, like,
I don't know. If I was, like...
2-on-2 basketball and you were playing against LeBron James and you were like, oh, hi, I'm Sonny. Do you think he would be like, oh, hi, I'm
No,
LeBron.
I would immediately leave the court because I am not about to get dunked on right now. That's, like, not what I'm trying to do ever. Actually, no, I would get dunked on by LeBron James.
I think that's a great enough story.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Hi, I'm Jackie. I do kung fu. Like, I don't even know. Hi, I'm Jackie. I do scooters now.
Ooh, that's a good point. When he goes to, like, scooter meetings with, investors, do you think he says, hi, I'm Jackie? Or do you think he just goes, oh, nice to meet you. I'm a person you obviously know who I am.
I don't know.
I don't know what you do at that point in time in your life.
Yep, I guess we'll never know.
Until we're the Jackies. We're Jackie...
This week we watched the movie Who Am I, which is an interesting. I've never like known that this movie exists? Did you just look at the list and be like, oh, that sounds cool?
No, shout out to my friend Dave. He told me that it's a movie that he really likes.
Mm.
I don't know if he listens to this podcast, but I told him about my podcast, and he was like, oh, are you going to watch Who Am I? And he told me kind of what the story was, and I was like, this sounds like a really cool movie.
Okay.
And
that's a very interesting first pull for when someone mentions Jackie Chan.
Yeah. I'm surprised that people have seen a lot of his deep cuts.
Yeah.
The only two movies I think that I've suggested that we watch in the entirety of this podcast have been this and City Hunter, which people have told me, like, oh, I really liked this movie growing up.
City Hunter?
Them. Yeah. It was suggested not as, like, a prank. It was suggested as, like, a legitimate,
sure,
you should watch City Hunter.
Okay.
But I actually, I'm glad that my friend suggested it. I thought it was, this is definitely a movie.
So my big problem with this movie is that if this movie came out, if this and Operation Condor switched release dates, I'd be like, yeah, fine, this makes total sense. But this movie just feels so incompetent compared to Operation Condor, in terms of his directing, at least.
What are the year differences between
the two? It's 7 years, or 8 years. I think this came out in 98, 99, and Operation Condor was 91.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
wild.
This movie feels very much like a typical action 90s movie.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely has the big scenes. I think directorially, I'll agree with you that it's not the most promising or the most, it doesn't showcase.
Right. It's not like visually interesting.
I think there are definitely visually interesting things, and there are things that Jackie showcases in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's definitely some room to grow, and there are places where it could have been better. It's weird,
right,
that this movie and Rush Hour are so close.
Yeah.
I think there's like a movie revolution between the 2 years or whatever between the two of them.
I mean, he kind of looks like he does in Rush Hour, sort of.
He does, but at the same time, the movie, the quality of it, and
right,
not
it looks more
the,
like it's more the style of the look of it, right?
Yeah, yeah. It there's just something Rush Hour. I want to look up what year Rush Hour is.
Okay.
I guess Rush Hour is 1998.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that might have even been before this.
Yeah. No way was Rush Hour before this. This movie can't be the same year or...
Yeah. It was released in Hong Kong in January of 98.
Okay, and Rush Hour is the same year? Oh my god.
Yeah, that's fucking...
That's bad. Insane. These movies look... The difference between these movies is night and day.
Well, it's like... This movie is... I think its problem is the shots are like overly stylized, whereas... Rush Hour is a boring looking movie. It just has like an American style, so everything's very static and like wide.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie has a lot of like close ups and like weird angles at things, which is like cool, but it doesn't really like inform anything. There's no like end to it. It just exists for the sake of like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we shot this stunt from this scene?
Yeah, I think there's some stylistic of this movie. There's a really cool scene at the end of it where I guess in the very last scene the bad guy is being taken down, and they're like, you see from all these different angles,
yeah,
like the good guys are coming in, and
right,
like I think that's a really cool and really visually appealing scene.
I think the last 20 to 30 minutes of this movie are like by far the best part.
Yes.
And I don't know exactly why, just maybe like everything that comes to a confluence and like things start making sense, or they just probably put the most money into it. But
maybe the movie was filmed in reverse. All of the stuff in Rotterdam is really expensive. The big stunt that Jackie, we've actually spoken about this stunt before on the podcast.
Which
and
one?
I believe the first episode. The stunt where Jackie is sliding down the building in Rotterdam.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't have it readily available, the chapter on the stunt, but it is probably one, not the best Jackie stunt that we've seen, mm-hmm. but it's one of my favorites. I think it's really cool where Jackie literally slides down the side of a building, and they don't do the patented Jackie show the same stunt three times from three different angles.
Well, they do that with one of the stunts in this movie. One that, like, doesn't really make sense to do it for. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
No. Which stunt?
So they do it for when... we watch different versions of this, I think. But they do it when he's, like... I think he's in Johannesburg and he's being chased, right? And he catches the cat that falls from the piano.
Yeah.
And then the piano falls, and then, like, a fish tank falls.
No, that's three different pianos.
No.
Yes.
What?
It's a whole alleyway. Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense, Jordan.
I'm telling you, it is not the same piano.
But he does the same movement. He, like, doubles back, and then the fish tank falls, right?
Yeah, it's a whole alleyway
of pianos and fish tanks?
It's because you see a scene of, like, three different pianos. There's just, like, there's, like, broken stuff all along the street. I'm almost following, because I was like, why are there so many pianos?
I'm almost positive
that scene is three different pianos.
If
any listeners out there, if you wanna tell us which one of us is right, because we're probably not gonna look it up.
Yeah, so I'm looking for it, but I can't find it right now.
That scene is amazing. But a bad guy points a gun at him. Also, that scene's amazing because right before that, it's an awesome fight scene, which I think. My second favorite fight scene of the movie. Because
the clogs one?
The clog fight? Yeah.
Jackie Chan is very scary with clogs on.
But his opponent has, like, he takes clogs and he puts them on his hands.
Yeah.
And he's, like, punching with clogs. You would 100%, if you kick somebody with a clog on your foot,
especially
you would break your foot.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He's, like, kicking people, like, in their asses, like...
Yeah, but he's just willy-nilly fucking people up with these clogs.
But that scene's crazy. That like, a guy points his gun at him, and he's just like, don't move. And then a bunch of people around Jackie are hoisting pianos up into the air. Multiple pianos up into the air. And on top of one of the pianos is a cute little... I don't even know what kind of dog it is. And the dog starts to fall. And Jackie runs forward. He runs 10 feet. Why does this person who's going to shoot him, when he says, don't move, and he runs 10 feet forward to save the dog, he doesn't shoot him.
Yeah. Okay, I found the scene. And it looks like there are two pianos. So what happens is, they drop one piano. He runs forward. They drop another piano, he runs forward, and then they drop a fish tank in front of him, and then it repeats that stunt.
Are you sure?
Of the fish tank crashing, yeah.
Okay, the fish tank might be two different angles, but I knew there were multiple pianos.
That's
I don't know why they're, like, hoisting it up. Like,
with a dog on it.
It was very dangerous. Strange. Those movers would certainly be sued. In America.
We did kind of skip over... Wait, go ahead.
Well, I don't think that's Johannesburg. I think that's in Rotterdam.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
They've got clogs.
Yeah. That makes sense.
They've got clogs and a whole bunch of bikes.
Yeah.
So it must be the Netherlands.
We did skip over the synopsis of this movie. Do you want to give it a go?
Yes.
Because I think okay. the first half of this movie is just baffling, like, nonsense.
Yeah. Jackie Chan is an international spy who gets betrayed. After falling out of a helicopter, Jackie wakes up losing his memory and unsure who he is. Jackie searches for the people involved in the betrayal in order to stop them and find out who he is. Okay. Jackie Chan.
That's pretty good.
He is Jackie Chan.
Yes, his name is Jackie Chan, according to some like FBI files they have on him or something. But he doesn't know his name because he likes screaming, "Who am I?" at the skies.
I think in this movie,
it's so dumb.
Yeah, the beginning I think is there's a lot of things from this movie that are kind of taken from different or other movies, I guess, take from it. It has that Shanghai Knights kind of like he gets saved by a tribe instead of a Native American tribe like in Shanghai Noon.
Right.
It's an African tribe and they like train him to be a warrior and release him out. They like save his life and help him to like become one of them. It's Avatar kind of steals the same thing.
I feel like a lot of this movie was clearly influenced by Mission Impossible.
I've never actually seen the first Mission Impossible.
Oh. Well, I think it's very like the general structure of it is just like there's a world-ending thing, like specific MacGuffin that they try to steal, and then there's a lot of like spy intrigue around what's going on.
Yeah.
This does the action part more than the spy part, but a lot of the motivations and stuff are really close to what Mission Impossible does.
I can see that. It has that, and James Bond in the 1990s is very similar, like GoldenEye.
Right.
There's not many things in the Jackie Chan movies that are really like world ending up until this point.
Yeah.
I guess like Operation Condor and Armor of God, like these people are going to get these huge pieces of armor that will.
They're
like,
treasure hunters.
Yeah.
They're just doing it for themselves.
Well, those guys are kind of doing it for power.
Sure.
In Armor of God.
Yeah.
But nothing is as world ending as this movie is.
Right. So it starts with, like, Jackie is part of a special unit that kidnaps a bunch of scientists that can work on this compound that they found in a meteorite or something. I think that's the story.
Yeah, I don't exactly. It's very confusing at the very beginning of this movie.
Yeah, so this group kidnaps these scientists, and then as they're, like, escaping to, like, get away, they get betrayed by whoever hired them. No, it's like The Dark Knight Rises, where they crash the plane with no survivors. Yeah,
one survivor.
It's Jackie Chan. Yeah, so he crashes, the plane crashes. He falls out. He gets like amnesia, and then a tribe finds him. Very friendly tribe. Just accepting this rando into their group. And then there's like a weird time jump that's not really like explained. They like find the helicopter crash, and then like it's suddenly weeks later and he's good at being a tribesman like, now.
Yeah. I think these movies always have like a real problem with time jumps and montages of learning things. People are Jackie specifically is very good at learning things in short periods of time.
Yeah, for sure. So that specific like cop, actually, now that I think about it, there are two things in this movie that have direct mappings to things that happen in Solo.
Wait, really?
Yeah. They're not really spoilers, so I can kind of mention it. So the MacGuffin in Solo is like an unrefined hyper fuel or something. So it's like,
so like a Kyber crystal?
No. Because this one, it's like a volatile fuel that has to be refined or else it breaks down and it explodes.
Okay.
And that's pretty much what the compound is in this. Like, the first scene is just some guy trying to transport it somewhere and it blows up his car.
Yeah.
He wasn't fast enough. And then there's also a scene in Solo that replicates that, the end of that car chase where he's driving the white Mitsubishi and he like goes on its side and tries to fit through the hole.
It doesn't try. It fits through the hole.
Yeah.
I thought that chase was awesome.
It was a cool chase scene. But yeah, that something akin to that is also in Solo.
Okay. I bet it's the Millennium Falcon.
It's not actually.
Oh, it's Donald Glover's Mystery Machine.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm excited to find out. I'm going to be looking for all the things.
You'll notice them immediately. I think it's pretty obvious.
I'm going to scream it out in the theater. I'm going to say, "Who am I?"
Yeah. Stole it from "Who Am I?" and then, like, so the most random thing after this is the inclusion of, like, a rally car race, right?
Yeah, it's very strange. I don't know why there's a rally car race. I don't know why. I think
Africa.
Maybe that's a thing that people used to do in Africa. I know that in like the Fast and Furious movies, they have like the desert races.
Yeah, race wars. Wait, race wars. Is that what it's called in Fast and Furious? I never thought about that before.
I don't think it's called a race war. I'm pretty sure that's not what they call
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. Anyways. So he comes across this rally car race and he notices one of the racers. Their car is down and then like he goes up to him and he's bit by a rattlesnake.
Yeah, it's but okay, so the logic of this is the car crash, the sister is asking for help, and then while the sister's asking for help, he gets bitten by a rattlesnake. Jackie goes over and sees he's bitten by a snake, I guess. I think he steps on the snake, if I remember correctly, or he stabs the snake.
Yeah, he, like, picks it up with something.
I think he has, like, a stick, staff,
right.
And he, like, stabs it.
Right, that sounds right.
And he's like, oh, I'm gonna suck the poison out.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes and he's sucking the poison out, and the sister notices her brother, she can't see him. So she runs over, and she sees Jackie dressed as like a tribesman.
Yeah.
And of course, at that point in time, a tribesman would not.
Because she's racist.
She's racist. She thinks that Jackie is cannibalizing her brother.
Yeah.
So she tries to punch him a bunch of times. It doesn't work because Jackie's got lightning fast reflexes.
Right.
And then she pretends that her flashlight is a gun.
Yeah.
And she's just like, I'm gonna shoot you with this, with this flat, I'm gonna boom you.
And then to add to that, Jackie can't talk since his mouth is numb from the poison, I guess.
No, I don't think it's from the poison. I think it's from the
plant.
Yeah, the plant that he used. It might be kind of like an aloe or a numbing thing.
Yeah.
So it might. I don't think it's from the actual poison.
Right.
I think if your mouth was numb for poison, you'd probably die.
That makes sense. Do you think that Jackie purposely directed all these people to say their lines badly so that he could look good? Because none of the line deliveries in this movie are good.
I don't think everyone's bad. I think
all the white people are bad.
Not the white guy at the end of the movie in the last fight. In the roof fight, he's awesome.
I mean, he's like a standard. He's the standard. I'm mainly here for fighting, so I only say snarky.
Yeah.
Trash talk.
So So all of the bad guys, for the most part, suck at line delivery.
Yeah.
The, especially the, like, the one that you meet at the very end, who's like a New York mobster type guy. Yeah. He's probably the worst.
That's just a caricature of of Brooklyn gangster, I guess.
I think that I don't think it's in Jackie's best interest as a director to make himself look good by making his other actors bad.
Sure.
I think at that point in time you just could do bad line delivery and it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Daily Motion version of this movie?
No, I found another version of it that I downloaded.
Okay, because the last 20 minutes of the movie for me are like hyper speeded. So,
oh really? Okay,
I
didn't know what you
meant. Everyone was a munchkin. It sounded like everybody took helium and then like did the last 10 to 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
I think midway through the rooftop fight scene, it starts to kick in. And it was pretty... I think it kind of ruined what was an awesome ending for me.
Uh-huh.
I think it would have been a lot better if it wasn't like that, but what can you do? I think that there's definitely not the best line delivery in this movie from pretty much everybody except for Jackie. I think the girls that he was with are good.
Yeah, I think the girls are both good. I like, what's her name? Yuki? Yeah, Yuki I like a lot. She's funny.
Is that the sister?
Yeah, she's
the
sister who's really good at driving.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she's cool.
Like, she does some really cool... I don't know if she actually does the stunt driving. Does Jackie do stunt driving or just stunts?
I don't think he does stunt driving.
Okay,
that's a different skill set.
So he doesn't do the stunt driving. I'm sure she doesn't do the stunt driving unless she's like... I feel like at that point in time, there aren't really people who do both.
Yeah.
Who do like stunt driving.
You gotta
and...
focus. It's like being a pitcher.
Yeah.
Can't bat
yeah.
and pitch at the same time.
Yeah. It's so... Whoever was doing the stunt driving was doing some awesome stuff. I really like the scene where they're, I guess this is a little bit later, between the race, what happens? So they win the race, or they survive in the race.
Wait, what do you mean the race? Like the car chase?
The rally, the whatever it's called. The desert rally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, going back to that, so Jackie jumps up into a tree,
right.
grabs a coconut, and makes a
yes.
coconut IV.
That's
which,
wild.
Okay, so I actually read that a few weeks ago, like as like a stupid, silly meme that someone shared, that a coconut could be used as an IV. And I was like, oh, what? Okay, I'm never going to need to know that ever again. And then Jackie told me about it all over again.
Yeah, and then the like medic at the tent was like, only military guys do that.
Yeah.
It's like...
Only an elite guy who would know how to do that. And why? Why would they only...
I don't know. So coconut water is supposed to be good for dehydration, but I don't know if you can just IV it in...
I think you can. I don't think this movie would be lying to us about using a coconut for an IV. I give this movie a little bit more credit than lying about that.
Yeah, that's true.
Somewhere between when Jackie finishes the rally, he then gets a lot of fame because they find him. And they're like, oh, we found this guy. The news is reporting about it because he saved somebody. He's a hero.
Mm-hmm.
And this journalist comes and starts following him around and asking him to, like, tell his story. What's going on with you?
Right.
I
think the heroism is more because he's a native that won a rally car race.
Did he win the rally car
race? I think so.
Their car was broken down, though. How did they go so impressive? So they were so far ahead, and then they broke down.
Yeah.
They got bitten by a rattlesnake, and then Jackie came and saved the day,
and then won. Won the
I think it was more that he was like a native who like helped out and like probably like saved somebody's life.
I don't know.
I don't think they actually won the rally car race. That would be insane.
I'm gonna send you this thing real quick.
Oh my god! No way.
This is a Wikipedia article that is Race Wars, parentheses The Fast and the Furious, close parentheses.
I'm so glad that is a real thing.
Yeah.
Wait, why they? How did this not get more like acclaim?
I mean, it was like 2007, 2004.
Oh my god.
Oh, and they made it into a real thing, and they called it Race Wars.
Oh my god, that's insane.
Jeez. Yeah.
That really is.
All right.
You know, okay, I thought The Fast and the Furious was pretty against that kind of stuff, and I'm very, very saddened to hear that they're in favor of Race Wars.
Yeah.
You're going
to talk about Christine?
Christine? Oh, Christine is the journalist?
Yeah.
Okay, so Christine is this journalist that Jackie wants nothing to do with. I don't actually recall why they... I don't know if you took better notes during this, like, middle section, where I feel like is kind of one of the worst parts of this movie.
Yeah.
Like, the midsection getting to, like, the cool Rotterdam
stuff.
It's
very convoluted, yeah.
I don't know how they end up with each other, besides, like, Jackie's in the hospital, he gets accosted by the CIA, and one of the CIA people who tells him, oh, you work for the CIA, like, we're not sure what happened to everybody. He's the bad guy. He's the main bad guy who's, like, checking in to see... what we didn't mention was at the very beginning of the movie... when they're in the helicopter, Jackie walks to the front of the helicopter and he sees this guy with his helmet off. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to see you.
Yeah.
And then they go and kill everybody. So this guy, who turns out to be like the main bad guy, or one of the main bad guys.
His name's Morgan?
The younger one. It turns out that he is one of the main bad guys, and he knows Jackie saw him.
Right.
And he wants to make sure that Jackie doesn't remember. Mm-hmm. So he wants to check in. He leaves and realizes that, like, he needs to get rid of Jackie because this amnesia might go away eventually.
Right.
So he wants to get rid of him, so he sends in his goons to go kill Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
None of that really works, and they eventually, after getting attacked, they're kind of trying to escape. Jackie keeps on getting accosted by different people who want to know what he had to do with this murder, and with there's an explosion at the hospital that they're at.
So Christine is there initially because he wants to interview Jackie for the rally car thing.
Yeah.
Right. And then he blows her off initially, and then he's chased by the goons, he gets away, and then he goes to the cops in Johannesburg.
Mm-hmm.
And the cops arrest him because he was like on a wanted sign.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So they arrest him and then they interrogate him. Oh, because he was one of the... They recognize him as one of the people who stole the scientists, who kidnapped the scientists.
Okay.
Of his friends were on the wanted... All their pictures were out.
Yeah, and he says... And the guy says, like, oh, you have all these... You have six different... Or we found 54 passports.
Right.
For the eight of you, like who are you? Like Jackie says the same line like five different times when people ask him who he is, and they're just like, who am I?
Yeah.
Like, I want to know that too. Yeah. He says that line like they.
It's
they
not
really
a good line.
Up.
Like they built an entire movie around that line, and it's not that compelling, really. Especially since like the answer doesn't mean anything, right?
Yeah. Like I guess he wants to know. It reminds me. Did you see the Liam Neeson movie Unknown?
No.
So I watched this movie pretty recently because it was just on TV, and I was like, I want to know what this is.
Yeah.
And Liam Neeson checks into a hotel room with his wife, and then he gets into a car accident, and he wakes up and goes back to the hotel, and he's like, oh, I need to see my wife, and he's, like, replaced by another man and stuff like that.
Oh.
And it turns out that he, like, you go through the movie, and they're just like, what happened? Like, why is she pretending? And it turns out that he was a bad guy, the whole, like, and he, like, had amnesia, and he remembered his cover story, and his wife is, like, another bad guy who was, like, who replaced him when he went missing.
Right.
So, like, it's this whole movie, like, this movie reminds me a lot of,
But there's a mystery to that movie that's, like, drives the movie.
Yeah, like, finding out, like, why this the who am I? It's not like you find out pretty early.
Yeah, it's nothing.
In that sense, it's not that compelling. But so I'm gonna say Unknown totally stole this movie, but made it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So then he escapes custody of the South African police, goes back to the hotel, and then is chased again by the goons
of the not the CIA guys,
right,
but the people who work for like the international crime people.
Yeah, and then they harassed the girl because she was talking to him.
Yeah.
Right.
And
then they handcuff her into the car, the white Mitsubishi, and then as he's about to go, Yuki comes back and he pulls her in.
She's like, her legs are sticking out of the door.
Yeah.
And
then they run.
And then they are escaping. Mm-hmm. They trick a bunch of they're like driving through. The bad guys are on their tail. Then the police see them, and then the police are on their tail. And Yuki, when does Yuki take over driving?
They get stuck in the gravel.
Okay.
Right?
And then Yuki's just like, oh, okay, I'm gonna take over.
Yeah, let me grind on these fools.
And then she does some really cool, like, stunts. She does some really cool, like, whipping and
yeah, she does good
away.
Drifts. She does a good gravel spray.
I think the coolest thing is when she, like, now at this point it's cliche, but, like, the, oh, I'm running from the police, I'm going to park my car, a fast park.
Yeah,
and then
hide.
The police fly by, and they're just like, oh, that person's parked. They couldn't be the same car that we were chasing.
That's good.
I wonder if actual people who have done that to get away from the police.
I don't think so. I think it's a trap, so that, like, they show this in movies, so people think it'll work, but the police are, like, in on it. It's entrapment. Did you really?
I kind of did it once. I was on the highway driving back to school. I was driving like upstate New York when I was in college, and I was going over the speed limit. I was going like 12 to 15 over the speed limit.
Yeah.
And I saw a cop like turning around in the middle thing with his like lights on. And I don't know if it was for me or just like somebody else. So I like quickly like turned off the highway. I was on like a major highway. There was an exit coming up, and I like went off and then went into a gas station, and I was like, okay, I'm at the gas station. And then like,
oh, so you didn't actually pull off the move.
I didn't pull off that move, but I did something similar. Okay. I don't know if I was encouraged by movies, but I definitely did a similar move.
Sure.
And I didn't get a ticket, so
mission success. You also drive like a blue Honda Accord. Yeah. And not so, a white Mitsubishi Lancer with a giant spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
I drive a Honda Accord.
The license plate is...
No.
I wouldn't even know it if I...
You don't even know that. But at that point... So at that point, they decide that they're going to go to... They're just going to go to Rotterdam because they find out
yeah.
that's where that's where the crime guys
there's a,
are.
There's a clue on a matchbook that leads them to Rotterdam.
Yeah. It's, well, oh, so not Yuki. What's her name? Cynthia?
Christine.
Christine. She is just like, oh, I read this clue and I like, this correlates to this, and she comes up with some crazy logic.
Yeah.
And it's at that point in the movie I was just like, Christine, I don't think you're a journalist. Also, like, Yuki is about to, like, take a picture of them with Christine's camera, mm-hmm. and Christine's like, no, don't!
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, there's no film in that. Which I thought was very suspicious.
It was suspicious.
There was no trying to hide what her ulterior motives were.
Yeah. I mean, I think this movie sets up that drama really strangely. Because, like, for it to work, we have to believe... Because, like, there's no way that Christine is normal. Like, the yeah. initial assumption should be that she's actually a double agent bad guy.
Yeah.
And the Morgan, the actual bad guy, is supposed to be more believable as a good guy. Like, he should be, what's his face in Wonder Woman? Ares, but the guy who plays David Thewlis, the guy who plays Lupin. He's very like unassuming and like clearly this guy's on your side, but then in the end he turns out to be not. So that's the reveal that would work for me, but in like.
So you think that this movie should have been reversed? Like, the whole time you have this guy, he's obviously bad, and then it turns out that he's been good the whole time.
No. I think the end result is fine. I think the way they got there, like, there's no weight to any of the reveals because of the way they did it. So I think the guy should have been more blatantly, like, on his side, like, trying to figure out, oh, what went wrong with this mission? And the girl should have been, like, being more sketchy. So we kind of assume that she was bad.
The problem is you see his face at the very beginning of the movie.
Sure. Well, but you didn't have to, right? He could have stayed behind the mask or the helmet.
Yeah, but that's the whole point. It would have been good if you had maybe seen Jackie see his face.
Right.
And then, like, but you didn't see his face.
Yeah.
So, like, you see Jackie and... the guy you see behind the guy, he takes off his mask,
yeah.
and then Jackie's like, "Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to see you." Mm-hmm. And the person puts their mask back on, and then it goes through the whole movie. You don't see his ulterior motive,
right?
You just kind of see him trying to help and being like, "Oh, I'm trying to help,"
right.
And you don't hear the, "Oh, I'm gonna." That would have been a very, I'll agree with you. I think that would have made the movie a lot better if you weren't sure until
right.
the end which one of them was
and
good.
That,
and which
that
one
even
was
makes like those silly flashback sequences have more weight to them as well. Because they're building to that specific reveal, right?
Yeah, yeah. I will say that, Sonny, I think you just made a better movie.
But yeah, so we find out that Christine is a CIA agent.
Yeah.
But he doesn't trust her.
The camera was a gun.
Yeah, the camera was a gun.
Which is pretty cool.
I don't know if it actually worked.
I feel like if you were to do that with a camera, you'd probably break your hand.
Sure. Or break the camera. Because you're like shooting it from the front, but there's no like... The recoil is like on the flat side of the camera. It
yeah.
would just snap the camera in half.
Who knows? We're Sonny and I are not gun scientists.
Yeah, we're not gun experts.
We're computer scientists, not gun scientists.
All right. Should we wrap this up? Wrap this movie up?
So I think that there's... Let me pull up my notes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that I think that the roof fight was awesome.
Yeah.
The roof fight was probably my favorite part of this movie. It's really cool. There is these two guys who kind of like get sent up to beat up Jackie.
Right.
And he's like, he's in the middle of them, and they're like, okay, you got two choices. Either you can give us the disc. At this point, Jackie has the disc. He knows that the bad guy is the bad guy. He has wired over $500 million that should have went from one bad guy to another bad guy to save the children through like a Swiss bank account kerfuffle.
Yeah.
And they're real mad about it. He beats up the Brooklyn guy, and the Brooklyn guy cannot defend himself.
Yep.
These gangsters, these like criminals for all their lives or whatever, who are like involved in this stuff, cannot do bad
they can't
stuff
do anything
to save their lives.
Yeah.
They're just like,
well, sometimes, like, well, sometimes they end up like being real good at Kung Fu, and that's just not believable. I think this version is more believable because these people are like, they've grown up paying people to do all the dirty work.
But they can't do anything.
Yeah.
They can do nothing. It's like, I feel like there's a lot of like bad guys who are just like, oh, I'm like a multi-millionaire, like multi-billionaire who like deals in arms and stuff like that. Maybe I should know how to like defend
myself. Yeah.
If I have to fight somebody or kill somebody,
sure.
These people are not prepared at all. They
one
of them like spins around and misses hitting Jackie with a cane,
right.
And like falls on the floor.
Yeah.
It's what it leads to is the other bad guy sending his two henchmen, I guess his like two best fighters, up to the roof,
right.
And they say to, I don't know if I said this, but I'll say it again. They say, Jackie, we got two choices for you. Either you give us the disc and jump off the roof, or we'll take the disc and then we'll throw you off the roof.
Right. And this, like, this disc has, I guess, the key to unlocking this compound to make it a weapon.
Yeah, yeah. So to make it explode, and they say that you can put, like, some sort of crazy force inside of a machine gun.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
A machine gun with enough power that is like...
Each bullet
like
is a missile. Yeah.
Like, yeah, something like that. So Jackie fights against, like, one of the guys is like, okay, I'll give you 30 seconds to beat up Jackie. And he goes off by himself, and he starts the timer on his watch.
Mm-hmm.
And this one guy squares off against Jackie, and in 29 seconds he knocks him down.
Right.
And like,
but
the
but
guy's
not
like,
out.
Oh, not out. And Jackie gets up, and he's like, okay, I'll give you another 30 seconds. And they're fighting, and this second time Jackie starts doing like, the guy's wearing a suit jacket, and while they're fighting he like takes the suit jacket over his head, which is a real, at this point, a very classic Jackie move.
Yeah.
And while he's doing that, you cut to the other guy who's timing it, and he's like, oh, and he takes off his
that's
jacket,
a good touch.
And
then
and he does the same thing with a tie.
Yeah,
and the guy's like, oh, I gotta take off my tie, I guess, when I get sent in. That scene, I think, was really funny. It had a lot of that like classic Jackie Chan action comedy that we love so much.
Yep.
Probably the inspiration for this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this movie really does well with that at the end of the movie.
Yeah, but that's still just one scene, really.
Yeah, but I think the end of the movie, like, I think there are a lot of cool things. I think the stunt where Jackie slides down the side of the building to get the...
That's cool. And necessary.
And it's real.
He's gotta do it, yeah.
It's awesome, and I don't know how he knows that the guy's at the bottom of the building and he needs to go down there, but
I don't know.
let's not think about that. And all I know is that he jumps down. And I think it's awesome. It's a really cool way, a really cool stunt to end the movie. And I know that Jackie said that it's one of his most daring stunts up until that point.
Right.
And I think this movie has a lot going for it that,
I think it's very uneven. I think it's very backloaded.
Definitely. I think the whole concept is backloaded. It's all about, like, oh, what if you had a spy who had amnesia? And it's just like, okay, how are you going to make this work? It's not like
I mean, Jason Bourne did it. That was a good movie.
Jason Bourne has amnesia?
Yeah, that's this whole thing. That really? That should have been Bourne, Who Am I? That first, the Bourne Identity is all about him not knowing what he's from. And I think that...
And he's also in the CIA,
yes,
right?
Or something like that. Some, like, secret agency.
So does Jason Bourne, did that steal from Who Am I?
No, because Jason, like, the Bourne Identity does it so neither of us knows what's going on. So when the reveal happens, it's effective.
But I mean, like, this is like a stealing... This is like building on the wheel.
I mean, there are no original stories.
I'm pretty sure also, that having amnesia is an original story.
I think the Bourne Identity, yeah, it was a book that came out in 1980.
Whoa! So this stole from the Bourne Identity. So it Boom. Took something that already existed and made it worse. Yeah. That's not a good sign. Sorry, Jackie, but you just lost some points.
all right, let's rate this movie. What are you going to give it?
I'm going to give this movie I wanted to give it something, but now that you're bringing up some points, I'm going to give it a 3.9.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think this movie was definitely a movie. I was interested in the story. I think that there's a lot of things about it that doesn't hold up in a lot of ways. Definitely not the action. I think that all the voice acting and stuff like that is comparable. It's competent, not comparable. That doesn't make any sense. But I was interested in the story. I wanted to see the ending. I love when pianos fall. I just like everything about it. I was interested in this movie and I wanted to know.
All right.
It was a movie, 3.9.
Okay. Yeah, I think my score is... I'm probably going to give it a 2.25, Jackie Chan, Not Want Any Troubles.
Whoa, 2.25.
Yeah, I think this movie is just... It's the first, like, half is kind of nonsense. It's just, like, a lot of convoluted plotting. And... It doesn't pay off in a way that it's supposed to, especially with these types of movies. Like, I think I like the idea of what he's trying to do with the amnesia plotline. I just don't like how it's filtered through all these different other types of genres. Because he goes to, like, South Africa to... He's part of the tribe, like, and then we completely forget the tribe, and then he gets captured by the cops of Johannesburg, and then he escapes, and they never come back. It feels like there's a lot of loose ends in this movie.
Okay, yeah.
As well as, like, I think the acting is really bad. I don't know if it's the acting specifically, but, like, the way they shoot the actors is, like, it feels like an infomercial or something. They, like, zoom in when they say something that's supposed to be emphasized. And it just feels really hacky to me. But, yeah, I think that, like, it earns most of its points in the last half. Especially the starting from when he sneaks into that building. And he, like, goes through the vents and does lots of cool spy stuff. Like, the actual spy stuff he does is pretty cool. And then the fight scenes are good. And I think the women in this movie are given sort of a more to do than what's usual. But I think the biggest disappointment is basically, like, I had such high hopes for Jackie Chan as a director after Operation Condor because of how good that movie looked. And I think part of it is also just because the sets in that movie were doing a lot of work for him too. Even though I think the locations for this movie are pretty cool, but they're mostly shot in more closed spaces. So he has less room to like do his thing. And I think that's to the movie's detriment.
No, I think that's fair. I think there's definitely not as much of the fun spy stuff that I think could have made this movie better. Yeah. It could have jumped up from a 3.9 to even a 5.0.
Oh, man. There's no, like, edge to this movie. I guess that's my problem.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think, I don't know, I just thought it was very interesting, and I think it's a nice step for us.
Yeah.
I think it was just a fun movie that had a lot going for it and a storyline that I was super interested in, and there wasn't really a point where I dropped out of the movie, and I was like, I'm not really interested in what's going on. Mm-hmm. I think that there was funny stuff going on for most of it. Things that I legitimately laughed at.
Yeah.
Laughed out loud at. And that is always a good sign for me. So, Sonny, I had a question for you.
Yep.
Since we've gotten to this point of the episode, and we can't do a session of the jack-off today.
Right.
I was trying to look for this movie on Box Office Mojo.
Okay.
And it's not on there.
Sure.
And I had to look for it alphabetically. So I wanna play a quick game with you, which is, can you name five other movies that start with the word who in 30 seconds?
Five?
Five.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And I'm going to start now.
Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Well, that's on here.
Who? It's the only one I know.
15.
Who's? No, that's Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Who's coming to dinner? Time. Who's the man? Who's your caddy?
Who's your caddy?
The whole nine
That's
yards.
That doesn't count.
Who framed Roger Rabbit?
Oh, okay.
Hootie
and the Blowfish.
Who is Harry Nielsen?
I don't know. Who
killed the electric car? I don't know. Who's Harry Crumb? Who is Harry Crumb? I've never even heard of that movie. What about the whole
thing? So is Who Am I not on there at all?
Who Am I is not on Box Office Mojo.
Okay. Well,
probably before Box Office Mojo was a thing.
Probably.
No, that's
no. Gone with the Wind is on there.
Yeah, I don't know why this wasn't on there, but I think we lived in a time where people weren't big old movie heads.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody's a movie head now. So, like, it makes more money to, well, I don't know.
I mean, that's a pretty janky website. I don't know if they're really doing too much work on that.
I just think they have a lot going for
them.
They have a lot of lists of things, like top 10 movies with dragons as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good one. That's a lightning in a bottle.
All
right, I think, did you have something else to say?
I wanted to say that Matt is fired forever.
Yep, goodbye.
Sorry, guys, but you're never going to hear from Matty ever again. Daddy Matty. He's gone. No, yeah, he'll be back.
I don't know when, but he should be back.
Yeah, well, for now, it'll be Sonny and I and maybe a special guest or two will be showing up on our doorstep. It'll be like a Mr. Rogers Neighborhood where you'll never know who's going to step in next. But this was fun, And Sonny, could you let everybody know kind of what the deal is, what they should do?
Yeah, thanks for listening to Chansplaining. I don't know what our social media accounts are. the Chan Pod?
The Chan Pod?
On Twitter?
Chansplaining, yeah. Chansplaining Podcast on Facebook. Chansplaining Podcast on Google. Have you ever heard of it?
We're not on
Google.com.
Oh, I guess if you Google Chansplaining Podcast, you'll probably find us, but.
Yeah, if you want to find our SoundCloud or our Facebook or anything, just Google our names and or you won't find it by our
probably
name.
Not.
But if you Google Chansplaining Podcast, you're going to find us. You're going to just listen to everything. You guys are great. We're good. And have a nice night, ladies and gentlemen.
Bye.
Bye.
Music. Fan.